Welcome to the audio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to thank you for taking some of the time God has granted to you to hear a sermon from the FBC pulpit. It is our conviction that an expositional treatment of the biblical text is the most God-honoring way to explain and apply the Word, so that is what we strive to do with all the sermons in our pulpit. We trust that you will be built up in the faith by listening to God's Word. If you would like to find out more information about the church or our ministry, please connect with us through our website at www.fbcaa.org. We're glad to welcome Mariano Proto with us this morning, and Becky is here as well as Enzo. And we are glad that they've been with us all week. Some of you who've been here during Vacation Bible School have gotten well acquainted with them already. What we're going to do this morning is I'll open in prayer, and then our brother will introduce himself, and the video that he's going to show will show that. And then the Sunday school classes that are here, like the boys here, so Mr. Snowberger's class and Mrs. Banks' class, they're going to go to their class after the video is done. And then we'll carry on from there with some slides that our brother wants to show and then his message this morning, okay? So that's what we'll do. All right, let's open in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to hear from some of your ones who are working on the front lines of the mission field on our behalf. We thank you so much that we can be partners with them and that they can extend the work of this local church and their sending church and all their supporting churches to the far ends of the world, in this case to the nation of Uruguay. Lord, we pray that you will bless our brother as he shares with us and that you will help us to be attentive and to learn and to work in our hearts, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see the laborers are few, the harvest is great, the task is enormous, and, Lord, the urgency of it must drive us to ask, what can we do for the Lord's work in this day and age? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brother.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing once again to be with you this morning here sharing what God has done in Uruguay these past 4 years. I believe we've been here in 2010 with my wife Becky and our son Enzo, and I just realized that time flies, and you know when you realize that? When you feel older. You know, I felt that this morning after a week of EBS, man. You just feel like, oh, I can't wait to sleep. But it was a great week, and we are rejoicing what the Lord has done this past week with 63 kids and all of that. But also, you know, we're rejoicing what the Lord has done in Uruguay through you. And we are so thankful for you folks, for your partnership in the gospel this past years in the country of Uruguay. We appreciate your prayers, your faithful support, because you play a huge part where we are serving. And so we are rejoicing in that area with you folks, and we want to share the video, what the Lord has done these past 4 years. Some of you were not here when we came, and we went to the mission field of Uruguay with the intention to be church planters. Our desire is to start churches in the country of Uruguay. And in 2011, we arrived to the field, and we start partnering with another missionary, veteran in the country. And we were helping to establish a local church there in Uruguay. So what you're going to see here is basically the pictures and videos what took place these past 4 years for us in the ministry. After the video, I'm going to come and I'm going to share some more what we're going to be doing when we go back to the mission field. And then after that, we're going to share some things about the country itself of Uruguay so that you have an idea how can you pray better for the country. Right. I hope you enjoy the fruit that you've been working with us in the country of Uruguay. It is a blessing every time we get to see this presentation. You know, we rejoice in the fact that God is able. You know, and, you know, you're thinking, why Uruguay, Mr. Proto? Why you went to Uruguay? Well, as I say before, Uruguay is one of the darkest countries in South America. They're very atheist. They're very secular-minded. So you will see now in a screenshot that Pastor's going to put now what the country in the last 2 years took a huge shift. I mean, it's been very secular, it's been very socialist, but in the past year, the country made a big turn concerning laws that they were not even asking to the people. So this one is the first one that took place last year, abortion. You can see abortion is legal when you see the southern corn in South America. You see Argentina loosen its restrictions in recent years. Argentina, Bolivia, Peru, and some islands out there. But who is the one that make abortion legal? Uruguay. It was the only country in South America who passed the law through. You want me to put it on here?
Yeah, now I'm on. Yeah, good. Uruguay was the only. The government never asked the people what they think about the matter. They just passed the law. And then some Christians were to say, hey, we don't want this to happen. So the government said, okay, if you want to go back to what it was before, you have to go and vote. Only about 3,000 Christians vote out of the 3.5 million people. So the government say there is not enough amount of people to get rid of that law that we passed it, so it's going to be legal. So the next now screenshot. So think about abortion already is legal in the country, nationwide. Now we have this one. Last year, marijuana. It was the entire country, nationwide, the government put it through it. And you can see, light blue, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, lower penalties for possession. Now in Uruguay, anybody can grow this little plant, and they can distribute it, and no will be any type of penalty, any restriction. As a matter of fact, the government that came on board, the new president that came on board back in March, now he's talking about make legal cocaine into the country. Nationwide, not some states, nationwide. So that's a huge undertake for the country. Now, a lot of young people right now are into this. Because and they can walk freely in the country and not, it's not going to happen anything to them. They can distribute it. They can sell it. You can go to pharmacies and buy them. So that's what we're facing in Uruguay right now with this past law last year. And then the next one. Same-sex marriage. You can see that is the big deal in Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay. You see, we get to face a lot of the things that you folks are facing here. You know, and you think, well, you know, what about how do you do it? Well, you got to keep being faithful and keep sharing the gospel. And one of the things, you know, in Uruguay we want to do is basically, you know, a relationship-based gospel-centered life. When you go to houses, you know, people will not listen to you. If you want to go and distribute information about God or invitations to come to church, people will not come. People, they don't want nothing to do with God. They reject it openly. And you say, why? Why all of that? Simple statement. When a nation wants to take God out of every single way and aspect of their lives, that's what they're having. There is no conscience of God in this country. So that's why they need the gospel. That's why we need to go down to these people and just to have a relationship with them. You say, how do you start your churches? It's basically like you have to do nowadays here in the States. You have to build a relationship. You have to become friends with these people in order for you to start having a spiritual conversation. That friendship can take years. That's why, you know, plant a church in the country of Uruguay. We're talking about 20 years to 30 years. Maybe you can plant one church. I know missionaries in the country of Uruguay, they've been there 35 years. Veteran missionaries have been 30 years, and they plant one church in their entire life. The congregations in Uruguay ran about like 30 to 40 people there. They're not huge congregations. We face apathy. We face lack of commitments, even in the Christians. The adults don't come. We saw a lot of pictures about working with children. That's how we started. We need to start working with the children because parents will tell me, I want something good for my kid. I know that you're doing a good cause. I know that you're doing good things. And we always tell them, but this is for you too. Support your kid. Come over. Come and listen to your children. You know, and sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. But one of the things, you know, folks, that we, when we look at the Bible, and I need some volunteers to help me to distribute these sheets this morning. Maybe Vincent, you can help me with some of them. And Lydia, you can help me with the other ones passing around. I just want to share with you something that has been in my heart. You know, it's so important even in America today, because we're facing the kind of thing in Uruguay you were facing here in the States. And, you know, being so a small country between Argentina and Uruguay, we feel it more, you know, the pain per se, we know, when they pass those laws. And you guys being so big in this country with so many states and so many people, you know, the repercussions sometimes, it doesn't feel like it's that big. But nowadays, I think one of the things that we struggle as a church is the fact that, you know, we need to get more involved in presenting the gospel in a way that will be more accurate, per se, or in a way that we will impact people. And I give you a sheet over there, you know, and the sheet said, you know, real faith, living out my faith in a world full of fakers. You know, I think the great opportunity we have nowadays is to live a real faith. When we see stuff like that, not only in Uruguay, but when we see stuff like in this country, in the United States of America, a country that has been found in biblical principles, and now we're shifting completely to be secular. I don't know if you realize that, but I don't want to talk about government and stuff, you know, this morning. I want to talk about Bible. But when you see where the direction is going, I'm seeing that you guys are going the same direction that we are there. And you don't want to be that way. So what do you do? God wants us to do something about it. God wants us to live a real faith. They say, you know, on the bottom page, that the culture that we live in today pushes Christians to live in a double standard or a double life. In other words, to be fakers. Let us learn how we can live out our faith and being real for the glory of God. You know, I remember years ago when we were living here in the States, before going to the mission field, I used to work for Bank of America. And working there with money, I just remember many times, you know, when I was counting the money, and between the hundreds or the twenties, whatever was it, I got a counterfeit bill. And it was so real. It looks like so real. But in the end of the day, when I realized that it was a fake and I didn't really check it out with the busyness of the day and everything, it was so disappointing to see something that appeared to be real, but it was a fake. Well, you know, today there are many people in the country here that are saying, oh, we are Christians. We believe in God. Is it not true? Did you hear that? The president, he considers himself a Christian. I was with a big one guy that was in the government working for a Bush administration last week with Pastor Matt. We were then in our mission board, and this fellow was involved in some big position in the government. And they say when they went to President Obama and asked him, can you define your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Did you know what he answered? Yeah. I am a Christian. I became a member of the church. That was his definition of being a Christian. You know, what will be your definition to be a Christian? I want to go with you this morning a couple of passages of Scripture. And I think, you know, if we are not careful this morning, we will get very soon like those countries, nationwide. In some states, some of these laws are not yet passed. It will eventually, hopefully not. But I want to take you a passage of Scripture this morning, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And you will be familiar with this verse because you probably read it before. Let's start reading verse number 8 to verse number 11.
Judges chapter 2, verse number 8, and say, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." So that's one generation right there. That's a leader of the nation. That is the man that God appointed to cross God's people across, to take God's people and lead them. And say now, verse number 9, "And they buried him, second generation, in the borders of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the Gilgash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, second generation, and there arose another generation after them." Now comes the conclusion here. We have first generation, Joshua, love God. Second generation, the fathers, follow Joshua's leadership and follow God. Now I will say arose a third generation of people from these ones that went before, and they say, "Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he has done for Israel. And the children of Israel did the evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." That's what we're living today. That's what we're heading to. I don't know where you are in your generation. I don't know if you are first generation, second generation Christian. But one thing I know, just imagine here that we have those three chairs. Those three chairs represent our generations. This one was probably your dad. Pass it to you, second generation. Pass it the gospel. Pass it to you all what God has done for you in your life. And now, you are sitting here in second generation. And then in the third, it's your children and your grandchildren. And the problem over there is something happened between the second and the third generation. And I think today, folks, we need to be really about this, about the gospel, to pass into our generation, the next generation, the Word of God. Otherwise, we can end it up like them. You ask me why in Uruguay happened this so rapidly. And I'll tell you why. They don't know about God. It was a man years ago in the 1800s that came with a philosophy saying God doesn't exist. And because so, we were now kind of have any teaching about Bible, any teaching about God in schools and anywhere. This is not allowed. So they get rid of God in any way possible. So we have kids now, we have young people now acting like they do. And you say, why are you doing that? God doesn't exist. There is no conscience of God in this. So why today is so important to be about the third generation? Now let me take you to another passage this morning when I want you to think about it. Let's go to the book of Titus. Titus, after Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, chapter 2. And that's where we need to be. Concerning discipleship. That's the Great Commission. Because we are witnessing to people, we are sharing the gospel with other people, and that's the Great Commission. But we forget many times what is important about the Great Commission. Does anybody know the Great Commission by memory? What is it? Can anybody quote it as a Christian? Louder, Sunday school class. That's right. Make what? Go and preach the gospel and make what? Disciples. I'm thinking we're doing phenomenal in going and preaching the gospel to other nations. We're sending missionaries out. We're preaching the gospel here in our city where we are living. But we are forgetting the most important thing. To continue with the process to develop a generation that will love God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that this generation nowadays love God? Don't answer me, but think about it. Let me ask you this, because you might be second generation. I'm first generation. My parents were not saved. I got saved later on. Then they got saved later on. But I'm first generation.
My son is second generation Christian. It will be. My wife is second generation. Her parents were safe, all the time living in church. I don't know where you are in your generation about Christianity. But the fact of the matter is, we have to be doing something about the generation coming after you. And here in Titus chapter 2, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." We got to be teaching about Paul tell Timothy that the aged men, who are those aged men here? Well, they could be the mature men in Scripture, the mature men in the church that he was talking about, but also could be the aged men like older men. And say, the aged men be sober, great, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged woman, the mature woman, likewise, let they be in behavior, be become holiness. No false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they might teach, who is the next word? The young. You see, we got to be involved, folks, this morning. We need to be involved in discipleship, the next generation. And that's the fact, I think, sometimes as Christians, we're failing right there to display what is a real faith to live. What happened in the Scripture is Joshua passed it good to the fathers. And they embrace it. But somehow in the process, they begin to forget what it was Christianity all about. They begin to forget the God that did so many things for them. And I think today what's happening here, we kind of forget what God has done for us. Because sometimes, you know, we don't want to talk about it. Think about how great things God has done for this country. Think about how great things God has done for you, rescuing you from your sins, dying on the cross, and now what are we going to do about it? This is true. Bible says here, and you see their definition of real faith versus faithlessness. What the Bible say about faithlessness? Well, we don't have time to go to all these passages, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, 8, and 10 say, if we say, we do something. The problem today is we say stuff. We say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm going to church. I do this. I do that. I do all the check mark things. But then when it comes to the point that we need to stand for Jesus and be a real faith and show example, show testimony, show others that we love Him and care, that it doesn't work many times. We act the contrary, say they know. We should match our talk with actions. And that's so important. That's the point today. You know, they're casual Christians called today many times. And that's what happened to the second chair. Think about it. First generation Joshua. We got to go this way. We got to follow God with all our hearts and mind. And they did. And then I'm dying. I'm gone. Well, now who's going to carry on? Second generation. The father. But there wasn't the leader there to continue going on. So they began to kind of lose him up. There was not a lot of training going on because they say the third generation arose and they say they knew not God. My question is this. If the third generation did not know God, how? How do you think it happened? It doesn't happen quickly. Something happened with the second generation that they didn't do the job that they need to be doing. You think about it? They say, arose a generation that did not know God anything about God. Know the words of God? I mean, the miracles in that time, they were very obvious. I mean, if you wouldn't been in that time, living in that time, probably you will hear about how God delivered these people, you know, from so many things. Nowadays, today, you know, we see what God is doing in our lives, but not the kind of miracles that they did in that time. But they say, arose a generation that they didn't know anything about God. Folks, the heavy load is in our shoulders. What we're going to do with our Christianity? Have you just give a thought about what is coming for your kids? How many of you have kids over here? Children. How many of you have grandchildren? No, not yet me. It's on you.
is on me. Because if you don't do the job now, you don't teach him now, we don't live our real life here as a Christians, your children will be growing up saying, there is no God. There is no God. Like happened in Uruguay. You know, when you talk to a millennial is called right now the terminology that people use today for a young generation, like I think it's 20s, maybe 20s to 40s. If you are in 20 to 40 age gap, it's called millennials. If you are 40 and up, you were X generation. That's what they call it today, nowadays. But you talk to a young people, you talk today to a young person, you know, and you ask, hey man, why you don't go to church? You know what they will say? I'm frustrated with church. You know, they impose me so many things. You got to do this, and that. But I find out, you know, in the church, there are so many people that are not saying the truth, man. They just leave an appearance. We can disagree with the statement or we can agree with it. But I just want to say this. Many times, they don't see the real, what is all Christianity real about. They don't see it. They see one thing during the service here that we come, and then during the week, they see completely different. So here in the note, we say, what the Bible say about real faith? It's not only we say and we don't do. What Bible say about real faith is to live our faith in the light of who we are in Christ now. So if we understand this concept of identity, if we understand really who we are in Christ, we could really impact our generation. And just I want to share a few points here before we finish. Live in the light of your new identity. Number one, reshaping your way of thinking. This is so critical today. Our kids, our children, the people that we are surrounded by, they are seeing us how we think. Where are your standards? Let me ask you this question. Based upon Bible, where do you put your standards? I think today we're lowering the bar to make it very accessible. Well, if you maintain like God was saying out there, you know, God told people Israel, God told Joshua, do not do this. Do this. Well, you know, that book is old. You know, we can't really apply principles that were in the Bible time, you know, because nowadays the culture changed. It's true. Our culture has shifted. It changed. But the fact of the matter is here, you know, reshaping the way that we're thinking. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Bible says, you know, renew in your mind. And we have to renew our thoughts with the Word of God. And many times, you know, when we teach our children, you know, we basically teach principles from the world, not from the Scripture. You see parents today, nowadays, you know, I work in Uruguay with these kids, you know, and I hear these parents teaching their kids stuff that you say, this is basically a world principle. This is from the world. That's why they don't have a fear of God at all. Reshape your way of thinking. Clothe yourself with godliness. If you want to go with me there to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Clothe yourself with godliness. We were talking about this yesterday morning for the men's breakfast, about being a godly person, being a godly man. You know, godly means set apart. Set apart for God's purpose. Set apart for salvation. Set apart for service. Set apart for a specific reason for God. And here we see in Ephesians chapter 4, clothe yourself with godliness. 4:24 of Ephesians say, and yet you put on the new man, which after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Put away, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one to another. You think about clothe yourself with godliness. We can become really scary about what is going on in the world today. We can become very scary about what is going to happen to us in America. But I don't think so it's time to hide. Don't run away. We can't say, oh, I can't do it. You know, I have many Christians tell me, you know, what it will do my vote, Pastor, if I'm going and vote against abortion, against 3.5 million people, what my vote will count about? That's how many times we can think, what can I do? I mean, it's not going to make any influence what I say or what I do. I mean, I can't fight the system. I can't do anything. Don't you feel like that many times? I can't fight the system. I can't do anything about this government. It's going on an agenda. I can't do anything. Well, imagine if you quit, and then the other one quit, and then the other one quit. The second generation is gone because they didn't want to do the job that they have to do. Mature men, be sober. Remember what Titus told Peter, be sober, be strong, teaching. Keep teaching to the young generation. And see here, we need to be clothed with holiness. What others can see? That's the question. Do your children can see that we're godly? We can do better than that, can't we? We need to do better than that. You know, we can be godly in our church during the week, and I'm the first one now. We need to do better in that area. Others, they need to be that we are real. You know, many, you know, I just got a guy, you know, in Uruguay that one time he said, you know, I see you guys going every Sunday to church with suits and your Bible. You know, what is going on there? I hope that they can see you out of your suit. You know what I mean? I see that they can see you in a real life who you are in Christ. That's what it's going to make an impact. Say here, be happy, cool, and kind to others. You know, Ephesians 4:31, we finish with this one. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, when I look at those pictures, you know, I feel many times in verse 31, I don't know about you, you know, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. When I see stuff like that, it makes me mad. Makes me mad. Man, they are rejecting God. When you see what your president is doing, you think, man, this guy is out of his mind. He's wrecking our country. Well, let me say this. What can you expect with somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Savior? What can you expect from an evil one? But that's the way, you know, that we need to just embrace a real Christianity and be happy. And we say, well, I can't be happy with this situation going on. You understand your identity. You are passing through here, man. We are passing through. And we need to help our children, our grandchildren, to pass through this journey. The problem is today we're infiltrating our kids and our grandchildren. It's like, you're going to live forever here, so you got to get this. If you don't get this success mentality, you're going to be a failure in life. So, you say here, be not bitter and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another. You see, there are ways to teach our children things and to the next generation. Being real. You know, I think it's better when our children see us struggling with different things. It's good. When they see you that you struggle in your Christian life, it's good for them to see it. But it's good then to see, you know, when you fight for it. Because they will say, Mom and Dad are really, you know, want to do what God wants them to do. Remember what Paul say to the Corinthians? What I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do, I don't want to do. He wants to do stuff like that. Show them who you are. Teach them the Scripture. Spend time. You had it. Somebody give you the Word of God. Pass it to them. If you don't want to be like the screenshots, which is going in that direction, just do everything you can to invest in the generations to come, because God will reward that.
I hope it will be an encouragement to you. You can go through the verses in your home and study them and think about it. Where are we today with God in America? Where am I as a Christian in America? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the time that we have this morning and the war. And Lord, we pray for the nations. Lord, we are looking forward to what the book of Revelation is telling us that it's going to happen. Every tongue from every nation will bow and confess that you are Lord. And Lord, we are looking forward to see people in Uruguay to be saved and confess that you are Lord. We're looking forward to see people in the United States that nowadays reject you, confess that you are Lord. But we thank you, Lord, because we can worship you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, because mission exists, because worship doesn't yet. And so, Lord, we have a mission, huge mission ahead of us. It's just to teach the next generation about who you are. Make us faithful. We would ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.